Fellowship as we are here, page 7, Roman numeral 5, dealing with categories of reversionism, beginning with, as we are dealing with, mental attitude, sin, reversionism, which can arise from failure to isolate the STA, which starts in the mental attitude, subpoint C, point 4, we left off, subpoint H, pride or arrogance, form of self-righteousness, 2 Chronicles 26, 16. In regard to Uzziah, but when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. Obviously, mental attitude, sin, and pride. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of the incense reserved for the priest. Verses 4 and 5, to begin with, he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God, the prophet. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. But then he got into sin, pride. Just lust in general. Matthew 5:28. Verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you will not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Clearly mental attitude. Rebellion, antinomianism. First Samuel. In regards to Saul, Samuel said, "As the Lord has much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination." It accompanies occult activity, which is open rebellion in regards to God. And then subordination is as iniquity and idolatry. God is support of the authority structure in regards to societies, nations, families, etc. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king in his disobedience to God and his role as king. All right, D moves on to verbal sins, sins of the tongue. One, verbal sinning does not exist, obviously, apart from some mental attitude sin that prompts it, even though your mental attitude sin may be so quick you don't even think about it. Two, believers who fail to deal with the mental attitude sins are likewise candidates to become verbal sin reversionists. Three, obvious areas of verbal sinning include A, lying. Not being truthful. Acts 5:3. The situation with Ananias and Sapphira, who made a pledge they were going to sell their property and throw the money into the kitty, but they held some back. They lied about it in regards to what they said they would give. And they are caught in the act, and they are dealt with. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? This line was in regards to, obviously, they're stimulated to apply the doctrine as a gap doctrine. And they indeed for all intents and purposes, aligned to God in regards to their proposition to give this money. And not turn it all over according to their promise in this respect. And to keep back some of the price of the land. And the ultimate result was that, was God killed both of them, the husband and the wife. B, flattery. Beware of the flattering tongue. Proverbs 26:28. I'm not saying acknowledgement of something that is fine in regards to others, but to engage in this verbal solicitation to get people off guard and to think better of you. Proverbs 26. A lying tongue hates those it crushes. A lying sometimes is stimulated through anger or hate. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Young females should especially be privy to this STA tactic by males. Females. Romans 16:18. Those who do cause dissensions and hindrances, verse 17 that we read earlier, for such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Flattery often pre-exist before deceit. These types don't usually come out and say you're an idiot. They will try to build you up like you're something special to them. C, gossiping, busybodies, the old lady syndrome, as I call it. 1 Timothy 5:13. Maladjusted old lady. Maybe I should stipulate that. In regards to women, younger widows, especially God provides opportunity, they should seek to remarry to keep themselves preoccupied because of the female general trends. And apart from having something to do, obviously this is women that essentially they did not practice women having professions back in these days. The women main focus was to take care of the house, which our society used to center on that very principle. And women's lib came in and ruined it for y'all. And for those who obviously find themselves in need of things to do, the STA kicks in. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, verse 13, and they go around from house to house, meddlers, busybodies, and not merely idle, but also gossips, busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Keep your nose out of other people's business, unless it belongs there accordingly. The slandering, maligning, talking bad about others. 1 Corinthians 5:11. In the doctrine of separation, I wrote to you not to associate with any designated brother, literally, if he should be an immoral person. Incest is not the only sin. Immoral person, covetous, or an idolater, or reviler, or drunkard, or swindler. Reviler, slanderer, maligner, etc. Alcohol, reversionism, religious reversionism, idolater, or squander, not even to eat with such a one. Their social life is to take a hit with respect to embracing individuals running under STAs like this, unbridled. E, boasting, a thing that's encouraged in our society, encouraged to regards to children and adolescents, through adults in the athletic and Hollywood world and things of this nature. James 3:5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire. Daniel 7:8-20. Probably Nebuchadnezzar. Or the Antichrist. In regards to Antichrist, when I was contemplating the horn, behold another horn, a little one. And a revived Roman Empire, Antichrist, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it, under the Western European Union consolidation. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth uttering great boasts. The promises, you know, the politicians, what they're going to accomplish and do. Anybody with any discernment takes it as a grain of salt. 7:20, and meaning of the ten horns that were on the head, and the other horn which came up, and four which three of them fell, namely that horn which had eyes and mouth uttering great boasts, which was larger in appearance than its associates. And that was the one waging war with the saints and overpowering them. That's the Antichrist. So he obviously is an epitome of boasting. Cursing, which is not idiomatic language, like saying damn or hell or something like that. Cursing like, you know, may your camel have flat feet or something. I don't know. Putting a curse upon people. It's an indication of desire for revenge. James 3:8-10. James warns his readers in this respect, no one can tame the tongue, it is restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. In the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be this way. G, blasphemy. Blasphemy, essentially calling God a liar, as blasphemy can be in the form of distortion of Bible doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:20. In regards to a couple of individuals that sought to be antagonistic towards Paul and his ministry. And they go into reversionism, basically they crash and burn spiritually for their faith too. Verse 19, suffering shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Ammanius and Alexander, whom I have delivered over to Satan, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. In regards to taking issue with Bible doctrine, and calling Paul a liar, they're calling God a liar, because Paul stood for the truth. Grumbling, complaining. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. James 5:9. Thank you. Do not complain, brothers, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the doors. So obviously, sins, we all trip over these sins on an incidental basis, but that we are to contain it, to rebound, and deal with it with doctrine. A, all right, then overt forms of reversionism, those things that are obvious. One, these areas of reversionism, these areas of sinning that, you know, only the fundies want to focus on in on these. They disregard, in many cases, many of the verbal sinning aspects as well as mental attitude. And these areas of reversionism are usually the most immediately perceptible among Christians, the big sins. That's because they don't understand the STA. They reject that principle. They're under a form of energy of the flesh and self-righteousness in their life. And therefore, they have to condense the area of sinning into just simple areas, usually areas that are more easy to not fall into, like murdering and things of this nature. The intellectually honest and open believer recognizes that their righteousness really all are filthy rags before God, that their energy of the flesh basically is nothing. And that without God, the Holy Spirit, our human spirit, forgiven under regeneration, we would be nothing to God. Two, while the areas mentioned could take on numerous forms, obviously a manifestation, we characterize them under their primary form of purpose, the basic trends, if you will, of the STA. Three, this would include monetary trends. 1 Corinthians 5:11, pursuit of money brings about unethical acts such as swindling, cheating. 1 Corinthians 5:11, cheating others out of their money. As swindlers are part of the list of those who get into that reversionism to separate from. 1 Timothy 6:9 through 10. In regards to the pull of monetary gain on the individual, and it opens the doors to for the believer to take on the attitude that they're all of a sudden self-sufficient. They don't need God anymore. They don't need Bible doctrine. They don't need Bible class. They don't need divine good production. SG3, who cares? I got less than time, you know, the whole scenario. Verse 9, we are to be, first of all, we're to be acclimated to the niche we have. Verse 8, we have food and coverings with these. We will be content. Verse 9, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, many stupid and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. That's spiritually. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, from which some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a sorrow. Galatians 6:9. Oh wait, monetary. I'm still there. Yeah, 1 Timothy 6:9 through 10. Alright, B, another major area of STA trends is sexual or phallic. 1 Corinthians again 5:11 brought that out. Fornicators, things of this nature. Lascivious type of activity. Then 6:9, 1 Corinthians, also 6:9. You want to get into that kind of reversionism, understand that your loss of SG3 will follow, knowing that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not deceive fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, different vices of sexual promiscuity, etc. Cross-dressers, things of this nature. People are like, that's all right. They're not hurting anybody. A bunch of idiots. want to be a woman, go get the surgery and get it over with.
When I look at it.
STA is sick, sick, sick in many cases.
Glad I got rid of mine.
See, obviously, addictive type of propensity is the STA. Alcohol reversionism. Pharmaceutical dependency, abuse of pharmaceutical drugs. Again, 1 Corinthians 5:11, drunkards. Galatians 5:20, listed again. And there it includes those things affiliated with sorcery, the occult, drug activity. Galatians 5:20. Sorcery there is the term pharmakia, from which we get pharmaceuticals, peyote and all that other kind of stuff that pagan Indians would eat, hallucinogenics. So you're all part of opening the mind to the spirit world. And that stuff is being celebrated more and more on TV. People go out and they're supposed to be centering in on food, and they get involved in the societies of these pagan people that everybody wants to preserve their culture. Like they're really advancing themselves. They've lived this way for centuries. Well, it's time that they grew up and got educated. See? Welcome into the 21st century. This is not that 17th century, and even then, I mean, under common societies, people didn't live like these people down in South America still live. Rome, look at Rome and its sophistication. Babylon, way, way back when. See, this is nothing but perverted STA trends that are maintained and sustained within this particular genetic field of propagation. So, you know, but you know how the human do-gooders are, the liberals. Criminal, anti-establishment, antinomian. We are obviously to be law-abiding as citizens. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Peter dealt with it. We dealt with that in Peter, in 1 Peter 4:15, also Paul in Romans. Let every soul be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. God's in charge of placing all in authority. Those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he resists authority as opposed to the ordinance of God, against God and his control over creation. And they, as opposed, will receive condemnation upon themselves, receive the correct penalty, disciplinary actions. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. This is looking at civil authority. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is the minister of God to you for good, to keep society functioning without chaos. Everybody thinks that, you know, well, this government's better than this government in regards to what it practices. We'll see. We'll see how it all turns out. But for evil, do you want to have no fear of authority? Verse 3, do you do what is good and you have praise in the same? Verse 4, for it's minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it's a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. You know, the hypocrisy really stands out to me in regards to society and how it is viewing current events, these rebels in regards to their government, etc., getting out and raising all kinds of hell and Cain and causing property damage and things of this nature. And yet when something like that occurs within our own society, because it might be a different race or whatever, you know, people are raising hands, and, yeah, yeah, well, so you ought to get down and nail them, get rid of them, you know, that hypocrisy abounds. That hypocrisy really knows no limits. Who's to say which form of government is best? I don't see anywhere in the Bible that God says democracy is the best form of government. Now, obviously, I'm not disparaging what we have been given in this regard. But this self-righteous attitude that people have, apart from righteous rules and government, I don't care what form of government you got, it's going to be skewered and it's going to be rotten. See? So, don't fall into this human viewpoint, New World Order mentality that democracy must be spread throughout the world. That's our given God right to enforce this regard to other countries. You don't think we're not involved, and you're blinder than a bat. Jeez, we've been so involved in these other countries and the things that have gone on through the CIA and covert operations and stuff for decades. It's no hidden secret anymore. You wonder why these people, many of these countries, don't like our country. Because we're meddling. We're meddlers. And we constantly are meddling in other people's affairs. You know, somebody comes in and does something to us, go in and wipe them off the map and forget about it and walk off. Then let them rebuild it how they want to and say, you do that again. Here we come. You know. But anyway. Last days. So criminal, but at the other end of the coin, obviously we're to align ourselves and remain obedient to civil authority. The only other aspect that if they, you know, shut us down in regards to freedom of worship, obviously we can appeal to a higher principle, higher spiritual principle. Just like you can appeal to a higher spiritual principle, if you own a handgun, you know, in a certain state, it's illegal, and somebody comes to your house and you have a handgun, I guarantee you they're going to do some damage or hurt somebody in my house. They're dead. Okay, take me to jail. Here's my gun. Hopefully my brother will find me another one when I get out. Whatever. Now, you got, there's certain God-given rights that we have. So, you know, but again, we'll all go back to the women livers. Maybe more truth than that. Anyway, for because of this, verse 5, whatever is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Obviously, our conscience demands that, you know, the difference between right and wrong. Because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Jews wanted a king. All right, fine, you got a king. Now you got more taxes, more than just tithing. Now you're going to be taxed above that. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Then you have an aspect of reversionism that most believers in the fundamentalist world, in the denominational world, completely reject this principle. Religious reversionism. That includes any of those who follow traditions of men, denominationalism, liberals, these are the obvious ones, legalists, ritualists, etc. Mark 7, 6 through 8. Religious reversionists were the greatest antagonists in regards to Jesus Christ. Regards to the Pharisees, who were religious leaders of Israel at the time of Christ. He said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. Religious types like this are hypocritical. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. It's basically a smorgasbord thing. You embrace what you want. Do away with what you don't want and put in your own ideas. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Again, out of that list that we saw there in Corinthians. the idolater. Romans 16, 17, and 18. In regards to those who create dissensions contrary to the teaching, and they seek to promote their own brand of doctrine upon others. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and following. An area in regards to the time and history of which we live in that we should be especially sensitive to in regards to religious reversionism, which personifies the Omega Church, the Laodicean period of the church age. Spirit says in later times some will fall away from the faith, not everyone, but some, vast majority, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of apostasy of liars seared in their own conscience with a branding iron. And part of the aspects in regards to their religious reversionism is forbidding marriage, advocating abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared and by those who believe and know the truth, etc. 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 18. In regards to the pastor, avoid profane and empty noises or chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, things that are not pertinent in regards to Bible doctrine, the teaching of doctrine, and the believer's Christian way of life and spiritual advance. And their talk will spread like gangrene among them, Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. Thus they upset the faith of the Son. All the way back then. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, I've already been here. Sorry. Three, five, and eight, 2 Timothy, in regards to, again, the last days, the types of people that will dominate society, holding to a form of godliness, that's human good appearance, the crust of human good, although they have denied His power, they're not following the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, they're under their STAs, and avoid such men as these, people, men that are the types that like to have their televangelizing programs and things of this nature. For among those, them are those who creep into households and captivate silly women weighed down with sins, led on by various lusts, always learning, and never at all able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They have a full appreciation and understanding of the principle of epignosis. 4, 3, and 4. Religious reversionists. A time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Operation Q-tip is what will ensue. Tickle their fancy. Tell the believers what they want to hear. And don't vibrate them with doctrine because it's going to go against it. See, that attitude. We might as well... you know what can the most of doctrine then? But wanting to have their ears tickled, see, to kind of be emotionally stimulated, maybe intellectually stimulated, STA stimulation. People will tell them that they're all right. You know, if you just love Jesus, they will amass for themselves teachers in accordance to their own lusts. If you're denominationalism, it doesn't make any difference where you live as long as your denomination is prevalent there. And they have a church. So you can get up and move around. You don't have that. You know, it's not like right pastor, right congregation. Where did that principle go? And we'll turn away their ears from the truth and we'll turn aside the myths. And 2 Peter chapter 2, which we will get into, deals with false teachers, false prophets. And in Revelation 17, the false prophet, Revelation 17 is the great whore, Roman Catholicism and its impact in regards to the world of religious reversionism. Roman numeral 6 now deals with the process and stages of reversionism. Obviously, reversionism can happen fairly rapidly, or it may occur over a period of time. In certain aspects, obviously, we should try to be discerning and privy to and critiquing our own lives. So there are certain factors that contribute to reversionism. Obviously, lack of adequate frame of reference with regard to the sin nature and what constitutes personal sinning. Personal sinning is simply being out of step with the truth of Bible doctrine, disobedience to God, and it manifests itself in the form of the list of ST activities in one area or another. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not that it wasn't available. I mean, Hosea was there. He made it available. See? Other prophets were there. They were making it available. It's because of their negative volition rejecting it. Because you have rejected knowledge, see? I also reject you from being my priest as a priest nation. As it will come under national discipline. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. And so it seems for the last almost 2,000 years. Proverbs 1, 1 through 6. Wisdom is the subject in view, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction, being taught, and wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the stupid, designed to enlighten us and make us wise, whereas we're otherwise ignorant. To the youth, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. 32 and 33, chapter 1. For the waywardness of the stupid shall kill them, send them to death. And the complacency of fools will destroy them, send them to death. He who listens to me shall live securely, and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. 2:10 through 22, the importance of Bible doctrine and the consequences if one does not adhere. Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart. And knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Bible doctrine soothes positive volition. It's like a breath of fresh air. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. It'll be your protector in regards to the enemies of the world, under human viewpoint, etc. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, things that deviate from Bible doctrine. From those who lead the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, the one who go into reversionism, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman for the young male, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves a companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, the mark of fidelity. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead for those who get into phallic reversionism. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life, as they are robbed in regards to their preoccupation with respect to the lascivious prostitute or loose woman. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. And then 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 9. Regards to the law. Now, the law is good if one uses it lawfully to implement it. Regards to civil, legal law, to take the Mosaic law and use its principles in that regards is a good thing. And obviously that's one thing that our country is blessed for implementing the righteous aspects of certain aspects of the Mosaic law. Until all that stuff got beat down. In that respect, you want to know the pulse of people, look at the law. Because the laws tend to, in our type of society, democratic society, tend to lean towards the masses and what they want. They may not necessarily change the law, but they'll turn a blind eye to it, like in homosexuality in states where it used to be punishable by death. That would be a weird one to see that happen. Realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous man, that's an establishment oriented, but for those who are lawless, rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, immoral men, homosexuals, case in point, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. Whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. Obviously, to failure to deal with STA with rebound. And I'm getting warm. My eyes are getting goofy, so we're just going to call it right here. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sensitive for the prep school.